In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear faithful, continuing our novena, preparation for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, it is today under the beautiful and yet somewhat mysterious and austere title of Ark of the Covenant that we consider Our Lady today. What in fact was this jealously guarded vessel which we read about in the book of Exodus? What was this beautiful but at the same time somewhat foreboding object whose theft by the Philistines resulted in the decapitation of their idol before which they had placed the ark and with a terrible plague being inflicted upon their people? And what can it tell us about our Blessed Mother, who knows nothing of severity or vindictiveness, but only mercy and goodness? What can it tell us about she who is a safe harbor and a refuge for us, especially when we are plunged in the depths of sin? This is what we shall now briefly consider, beginning with an examination of God's original Ark of the Covenant. When we read from the book of Exodus, we see that this ark was a kind of chest, a sacred chest, built to measurements of exact specification by God, made of a sort of incorruptible acacia wood called setim. It was overlaid within and without with the purest gold and with a golden crown, a rim running around it. The cover of the ark was called the propitiatory because it was that part which rendered God propitious to us, disposed to forgive our sins. It was likewise made of the purest gold. Upon it, upon the propitiatory on the top, had been placed two cherubim, two angels, made of beaten gold, the angels looking towards each other and down at the ark, and spreading their wings, so that both sides of the propitiatory were covered. The holiest part of the ark is called the oracle, the place from where the Lord made his prescriptions to Israel. Thence the Lord said to Moses in the book of Exodus, "From thence will I give orders and will speak to thee over the propitiatory, and from the midst of these two cherubims, which shall be upon the ark of the testimony, all things which I will command the children of Israel by thee." We read in the book of Numbers that when Moses entered into the tabernacle of the covenant to consult the oracle, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from the propitiatory that was over the ark between the two cherubims. The ark was therefore the visible sign of God's presence and his protection. This appeared in the most striking manner in different circumstances. Somewhat dramatically, against the will of God, we see in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers, many of the Israelites had been fomented to a sedition, and they went up the mountain to meet the pagan Amalekites and the Canaanites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses, however, remained in camp, did not go up the mountain. And in punishment of the seditious Israelites, God then permitted their enemies to come down upon them, attack them, and slaughter them. He refused to come to their aid. The next two manifestations of God's power through the ark occurred under Joshua's leadership. When the people were about to cross the river Jordan, the book of Joshua gives us this account of what happened. The priests that carried the Ark of the Covenant went on before them, and as soon as they came into the Jordan and their feet were dipped into part of the water, the waters that came down from above stood in one place and, swelling up like a mountain, were seen afar off. But those that were beneath ran down into the sea of the wilderness until they wholly failed. And the people marched over against Jericho, and the priests that carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood girded upon the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the people passed over through the channel that was dried up. amid these harrowing accounts of battle and of trials passed under duress, perhaps above all, the inanimate nature of the first ark, one might be excused for wondering where the analogy to the humble and meek Virgin of Nazareth fits in. Let us remember, however, the purpose of the first ark. Above all, to bring the presence of God into the midst of his people and to bring his truth to the minds of the faithful, to be the visible sign of his presence on earth. Well, it was in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary that God incarnate made his first dwelling place. The Marian interpretation of the Ark of the Covenant is an ancient tradition. Indeed, it has been known since the Council of Ephesus, 431. The history of this interpretation is well established and venerable, and several analogies can be established between Mary and the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was the throne of God. Mary is the true Christophora, the true Christ-bearer. The Ark contained the tables of the tablets of the law, the stone tablets. Mary's womb bore the one who is the new law of the covenant and who promulgated his law from his own lips and who continues to speak to us today through his Holy Catholic Church. Now, if Our Lady can truly be called the throne of God, it is because of her intimate association with our Lord Jesus Christ as his queen. It is always through Mary that our Lord speaks to us, transmits graces to us, chastises us, or pardons us. St. Louis de Montfort teaches us that Mary is the queen of heaven and earth by grace, as Jesus is the king of them by nature and by conquest. Now, as the kingdom of Jesus Christ consists principally in the heart, in the interior of a man, according to that phrase from Holy Writ, the kingdom of God is within you. In like manner, the kingdom of our Blessed Mother is principally in the interior of a man, that is to say, in his soul. And it is principally in souls that she is more glorified with her Son than in all visible creatures, and that we can call her, as the saints have, the Queen of Hearts. So it is indeed fitting that we receive the law of the new covenant from Jesus through Mary. At the wedding feast of Cana, Christ did not elect to work his first miracle without the intercession and even the order of Mary. For what does she say to the servants? Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye, do it. And from whom has our Lord deigned to speak to us with authority from heaven? Principally through his Blessed Mother. In her apparition at La Salette in France in 1846, Our Lady wept over the impiety of so many who call themselves followers of Christ, who call themselves good Catholics, and who nevertheless live with little regard for the commandments of God. She warned that if the sins of men continued to multiply, she would no longer be able to stay the heavy and avenging arm of her divine Son. Our Lady even listed the punishments that awaited sinners if they refused to amend their lives, saying that a great famine would come upon them and that many would starve to death. But let us not think that Our Lady's role in laying down the law of Christ to us stubborn sinners makes her any less approachable or any less beautiful and welcoming to us, we who have such great need of this good mother. For just as the Ark of the Covenant was precious and beautiful in a material sense, made in gold, Mary's soul is adorned with the beauty of her virtues, never defiled by either original or actual sin. Our Lady is distinguished and exalted above all other human creatures, including all other saints, by her profound humility, her lively faith, her blind obedience, her unceasing prayer, her mortification in all things, her surpassing purity, her ardent charity, her heroic patience, and her angelic sweetness. Truly, she is a mother compassed on all sides by a radiant and delightful beauty, a beauty and joy which invites us to draw near her in confidence, even from the depths of our sins. Most importantly for our confidence in this good and loving mother, God has shown her victorious over the evil one, just as those who remained reverent before the Ark of the Old Covenant were delivered from their enemies in earthly battles. Look at what happened to the idol before which the foolish Philistines placed the Ark of the Covenant, described in the first book of Samuel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Well, upon returning the following day after having placed the ark before their idol, they found the idol prostrate in adoration before the ark. And upon returning the day after that, the idol was found again prostrate, this time with its head and the palms of its hands cut off. Staying close to Our Lady is thus a guarantee of victory over the disappearing and pathetic temptations of this world, the weakness of our own unfaithful flesh, and the snares laid for us by the devil. As the priests who carried the ark and those who stayed near them passed through the waters of Jericho safely, so we find a safe refuge and passageway to heaven in remaining by Mary's side, constantly invoking her in prayer. So we would do well to ask ourselves today, is our reverence, is our love for our Blessed Mother at least as fervent as was the fear and reverence of our forebears in the true faith, as was the reverence of the Israelites of old before the Ark of the Covenant? In this first habitation of God's presence, our forebears in the true faith found a refuge and protection from the evils that threatened on all sides. They knew that to draw near to the ark was to draw near to God himself. We who have the real presence of our Lord in the tabernacle before us, let us draw near to Mary as to the true ark in the spirit of the psalmist, who said, "I have loved, O Lord, the beauty of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth." Our Lady, Ark of the Covenant, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.